always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So, like, you know,
wasn't that like 3 GMs ago for the Kings? I feel like they just hired a new one every offseason.
I'm just saying, like, the general consensus about Rob Pelinka.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's still the same owner. But like as far as like asking why the Lakers are never involved in deals like this, well, you know, the Lakers clearly didn't value Nick Claxton as much as like the Bulls did here, where like the Bulls just basically got Nick Claxton for free. They didn't give up much of anything. Let's see. Minnesota is sending Julius Randle and the number 28 pick in the NBA draft to the Brooklyn Nets. It doesn't
really
go in. I
love that we never
know
what actually went out in trades now. It's like we got to wait till the next day to find out what the full package was.
It doesn't say what the Bulls gave up here. Yeah, it doesn't look... So they basically just got Nick Claxton to what it amounts to be for free. And if you're the Lakers, like, is that something that they maybe should be involved in? I would probably agree if you think so. But they didn't value him that way.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I sort of agree. I don't think that Claxton is the guy next to Luka and Austin long term.
That's also fine. Let's see. The next question here that we have. Man, we had a lot. Look at you guys go.
Oof. Never mind. I love draft day. I love draft day. I love doing these streams.
Yeah. Intel is wild. Fuck Boston. Solid comment. I would agree.
I feel like you should 100%. Refund the $5 for that. You would have said that for free. You know,
we do all the time.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is that it before we get out of here? Do you want here? Oh, we got one more. The very last second. Kristen Lee. Luka has never publicly applied pressure like this. So what is he hearing? What he is hearing from Rob must be bad. It's a solid theory. I am sure LeBron is supportive of Luka to applying pressure. LeBron wants a good team too. Good on 77. Yeah, I think this is, Harrison, I think this is something that like all Lakers fans and Lakers players should be rooting for. Hell, I even think Mark Walter is probably rooting for this. You know, he wants clarity on what Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and the Rambai are capable of.
Texting Bill Duffy. He's like, hold their feet to the fire, man.
Yeah. I would hope that it's a true partnership. And if it turns out that the best center available isn't necessarily a lob threat, but somebody who maybe spaces the floor, then you talk to Luka and say, look, this is the best value out there that we could possibly get. And you kind of move forward that way. If you, look out at the market and say, I'm sorry, Luka, that player just isn't there. You take that one on the chin and you say, we're going to work our asses off to go out and get that player. But again, like what I think is the most important thing to take from all of this is that Rob Pelinka painted himself into this corner and now has to face that music. If it is indeed playing where Luka and his camp are very clearly making it known. No, man, we waited last year. We waited is the amount of time that you asked us to wait. You know, we got here, you traded for Mark Williams, and some people around the league think they got cold feet. Lakers are steadfast in their belief that Mark Walton.
Just another situation where Rob is being misunderstood, Anthony.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the Lakers to their point would say that, you know, Mark Williams wasn't able to finish this last year for the Phoenix Suns. But yeah, like I think that's where you know, for all of us, it is actually a very, very good thing that Luka Doncic and his team are saying to Rob and to Jeannie and now to Mark Walter, look, either this guy figures it out or you get somebody who does or will, and we'll see how that plays out.
And there's been, you know, there's been, I think, a lot of people talking about, you know, there's been a lot of, hey, here's what Rob needs to do to step up. Here's what Luka needs to do to step up. But I actually have a challenge to issue to someone else. Bill Duffy, it is time to see if you can be as good of a shadow GM as Rich Paul. Rich Paul built a 2020 title team. You know, he helped them come up with the optionality. Mm-hmm. He helped them, you know, sort of secure those guys. He got them Bubble Cheese and J.R. Smith, kept the vibes high in the bubble, knew that like their specific vibe skill set was going to be very valuable in that environment. Like, you can't overlook that kind of stuff. Like, Bill Duffy, I want to see what you can do. You know, so far I'm underwhelmed.
All you have is a now Slovenian Jackson Hayes that we can point to.
Yeah, we know Rob Pelinka can be strong arm. The question is, are you a good enough agent to do it?
Yeah. Do you, Harrison, want to talk out the my blood feud with Mark Stein?
Sure, why not? Let's, you know, I already said a couple things of the show that got the show demonetized and might get me in trouble and, you know, whatever. Let's do it.
All right. For one thing, it's not a blood feud. He reported something and I reported something else. And however this plays out is however this plays out. I have said this on the show that, you know, I had heard Saturday afternoon that I had heard basically over the last like couple of weeks or so that the Lakers had kicked the tires on Isaiah Stewart and that those conversations had continued. I had made sure to specify that nothing was imminent. I had made sure to say that these were conversations that, you know, and I also made sure to say yesterday on the show that those were conversations where the Lakers were interested in Isaiah Stewart for the sake of a potential discount that they could get on him because they would be facilitating a larger Giannis trade. I don't know that they would love Isaiah Stewart like in a vacuum. I don't know that they would love Kelel Ware in a vacuum, right? But those are the two names that over the course of the weekend, as that Giannis stuff was mounting and as Milwaukee was trying to get Boston to include Jaylen Brown in the trade, you know, those names came out. And of course, I think it was, I don't know, when Adam and Mark, two people who, by the way, people should know I'm very close with both of those people.
Very close. Let's not oversell it. Come on. You're not very close with.
I was a co-host with Adam for years, plural. And Mark and I, all right, maybe not very close with Mark.
Adam tolerated you for years as a good employee of the Locked On Network. And Mark Stein, like, hasn't blocked your number yet. Like, let's not oversell these connections.
Well, that I know of.
You're going to try and text after the show is done.
But so Mark reports or says on that show that he hadn't heard of the Lakers being involved in any multi-team deal that could go down between Miami, Milwaukee, and whatever other teams involved or would be involved there. And of course, the internet took that, ran with it, and said that, see, we told you, Anthony, you know what he was talking about. And to that stuff, I say a few things. First and foremost, whoever Mark talks to might be different people than I talk to. So it might be literally different information. And who knows who is going to wind up being, quote unquote, correct on those details. I would also add to it as kind of a general sentiment. And I said this yesterday on the show. I tweeted it out as well. And Harrison, I wanted to run this by you, a couple of things by you here. I'm not going to put you in a predicament where you have to like choose between me and Mark. I'm not going to do that to you. But what I do want to say is that like two things. One, and I tweeted this out. When I talk about names, it's not that I'm sitting here saying the Lakers are going to sign and trade for Walker Kessler. They are going to trade for Isaiah Stewart. They are going to trade for Kelel Ware. the point of all of that is for me to say, I have heard that they are in on Khalil Ware. I have heard that they are in on Isaiah Stewart under the right circumstances. They have been in on Walker Kessler for as long as Miles has been in this world. Like, they, the larger point here that is worth taking from that entire situation is that the Lakers know they need a center this summer. That's where their summer starts. And so if I were doing the job that you and I used to do at Silver Screen and Roll, and we were aggregating a show like this, what I would aggregate is,
I wouldn't have aggregated you. I'm just going to be, you would have been on my do not aggregate list.
Fair. Honestly, probably same.
If another local podcaster was writing news and I tried to get you, it was breaking news, and I tried to get
you. Yeah, you would have to convince me to aggregate me.
I would have had to go to your house with a gun to get you to aggregate it. Like,
it's honestly fair. And so, like, all right, so that's that situation specifically. Okay. What I would say about, like, my reporting, and this is, like, part of why I wanted you here when we had this conversation, is because, like, you know me, like, I am not here to, like, I don't benefit at all really anymore from, like, getting aggregated or any of those things. Like, it just doesn't, it's not something I enjoy. It's just, if I have information that I feel like helps the audience or helps contextualize the situation, then great. Like, that, I'm going to offer up that information. And it's funny because, like, I could, and this is going to sound like a shot at other reporters, and I swear to God, I don't mean it like this. I could do, like, the super careful, never piss anybody off type of reporter speak that is absolutely maddening to listen to. I could do that if I wanted to do that, and it would make for an objectively worse show. I would get better information, which maybe that's what matters more to the audience there, but it would be an objectively worse show to such an extent that people wouldn't listen to the show. They would wait for it to get aggregated, right? And my thinking has always been, I'm going to try to be as true to the audience as I can be. My analysis is going to be as true to the audience as it can possibly be. And if that sometimes means that I'm going to report something that doesn't play out that way, then so be it. I have made it crystal clear throughout my career. The audience to me, that the people who subscribe to the show and listen to it on a daily basis, they matter to me a hell of a lot more than, you know, the people on Twitter who were like, is Anthony a source? Is he not a source? Is he this? What did he get right? What did he get wrong? I believe in the stuff that I report. It's your guys' decision to run with it. But as all of this is playing out, it just kind of is what it is.
And I was just going to say, I mean, you've done a lot of caveating in your, like, reporting.
I was trying
where
to.
You're not, you know, it's like you said, you're not saying this and this is going to happen. You're saying, I have heard this team connected to this, which ultimately, like, you know, that's just a team doing its job. You know, I think the important point that you made is, like, when we were aggregators, one of the things that we would do, like, you know, I would always, every year I would do the free agency tracker and, like, the Lakers rumors tracker. And it was like, hey, here's this guy's name and here's who's connected them to the Lakers. And, like, here are the guys who's been connected to the Lakers. Here are the guys who, you know, have been sort of speculated about to the Lakers and all of that stuff. And the through line there was always like, hey, this is another center the Lakers are being connected to. And so this is clearly a position of need that they have identified. That, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to get Walker Kessler or Isaiah Stewart or whoever. It just means that they are well aware that Dominaten and Slovenian Jackson Hayes are not going to get it done. And they need, you know, an upgrade at that position. And so to me, that it was always less valuable, the names connected to the team, than what position do they play? What does this potentially tell us about the team's mindset and how they're going to attack free agency or the draft or the offseason, you know, the trade deadline, whatever it may be at the time? And that is sort of, it's like you always want to try and read between the lines versus just like, here's what the information is that is coming out. And I'm just taking this as gospel that because these two teams talked that this deal is close and it's going to happen. That's not necessarily it. And like, I do think that, you know, like it matters a lot. Sort of, you have to read the actual words and listen to what the person is actually saying, and not just, there has to be a degree of media literacy involved, you know, where it's not just because I saw Legion Hoop say Lakers are interested in so-and-so that they're getting so-and-so.
Right.
Well, you want to hear what the reporter actually said, and are they, and you know, again, like an important distinction between, you know, are they saying that they've heard that the team's connected to this? Or are they saying that league sources around the league expect that this is going to happen? And right. It's like, that's informed speculation, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, it's like, that's well-paid cap people or front office GMs or, you know, people that are aware of intel around the league or whatever, but the Lakers always play this stuff relatively close to the vest. And so it's like, you know, those teams, they might be speculating, those sources around the league, those league sources, they may be speculating in sort of, you know, maybe a slightly more informed degree than Anthony and I are, but not much more than that. If everybody hates Rob Pelinka, it means they probably aren't talking to him about what his intentions are all the time.
Well, like, so what there are times where I have come out and said, according to sources, this is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, like when I reported that the Lakers were benching D'Angelo Russell and they were going with that all wing starting five, that was me saying that was a thing that was about to happen, right? When I reported that J.J. Redick was going to be the next head coach of the Lakers, that was me saying a thing that was going to happen, right? There were no disclaimers there. I just outright said that that's what's going to. And sometimes, and on those occasions, I said a thing or I reported a thing that eventually wound up happening and I got it right. Then there are other instances where I said a thing that I was told and it wound up not being correct. And I'll eat it. I'll explain what happened there in the events that doesn't happen. And what I always try to do is try to be absolutely transparent with the audience, no matter how that plays out. If I'm correct, then I'll explain why it is that I was correct. If I was incorrect, I will explain what the hell happened there and then apologize and make sure that it doesn't happen again, or try to do everything in my power to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But as it stands right now, whether it's Stein, whether it's Fisher, whether it's Shams, whether it's whoever, right? All of us are reporting speculation.
Not in Anthony's league. Oh.
That's right. We are all reporting speculation to various levels and various extents, things that we think are going to happen, situations that we think are going to play out a certain way right now. And if that time comes that I learned something that I think that I can explicitly state is going to happen, then I will. But until then, you got to note the disclaimers. And I think more importantly to the audience, like just in for the sake of media literacy this time of year, you got to note the trends. And to me, the trends are so much more important than any one specific name. All right. That is enough navel gazing for my interest. Harrison, I've taken up way too much of your time. I will actually let you plug any number of things that you want to plug since you've been here for so long.
You let me do that at the end of every episode.
No, not this time. Like if you want to plug,
you just cut me out. You're like, you know, Harrison, do you have anything to plug?
No, individually.
Okay. I want to say, you know, keep an eye out on the SB Nation NBA network tomorrow. Obviously, the disclaimer that I always give. I will tease here that I have gotten a look at an early build of SB Nation's upcoming app. And I will say I'm excited about it. It looks pretty smooth. It looks pretty clean. Like, you know, if you enjoy talking about sports. And, you know, I'm guessing if you're watching this show an hour and 30 minutes in, you're probably a Lakers fan. If you enjoy the Silver Screen Roll comment section, like, you are going to be have a way now to get notification, not now, soon, in the months to come, you are going to have a way to get notifications on your phone when somebody replies to your comment, or, you know, certain things like that. And it's just gonna, I think it's gonna revolutionize sort of the way that people interact with our sites. And I'm really excited about it.
Also, tomorrow is Ricky O'Donnell's national holiday, and for my money, he's my
We're working Ricky like a dog tomorrow. He's not getting the holiday. Don't tell him about holidays. He doesn't get those. But Ricky is on from, I believe, 3 a.m. Like overnight right now. And then I think we're gonna let him take a break on Friday.
And then on Friday afternoon, he's coming on the show. No, I don't know what. I'm gonna reach out to him though. And ask him about whatever player I am really disappointed that the Lakers took with number 25 tomorrow evening.
Ricky, try to talk me into this guy, please.
Yeah, talk me off the ledge, Ricky. But all right, that has been this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. As I said earlier in the show, we'll have Raj on, and he and I will be on live during the draft. I will talk to Pete and to the other guys about you know, maybe popping into the offside chat as well tomorrow, to listen there or watch, alongside you guys for immediate there. We had one more super chat here right at the very end, Ryan Lucas LA, which means, you know what? I'll play it again, 'cause you guys left so many super chats. I'll go ahead and play this. Did AR lose leverage by way of the Nets and Bulls trade? What about the Walker impact? I don't think the Walker Kessler situation is impacted by this at all. I do think AR's leverage is impacted.
I mean, if anything, he loses another potential restricted free agency suitor.
Who, the Bulls?
Because the Bulls probably aren't going to chase him now.
I guess. I
don't know really how feasible or like, you know, realistic that was anyway, but it does, you know, it's maybe that's a small impact.
Yeah. But then it also, I guess by that definition, maybe opened up one with Brooklyn, right?
Well, not with the Randall salary.
Unless they think he and Randall can play together. I don't know.
No, I mean, I don't know. The Nets opened up like significant space in this move.
Oh no, they did not.
That's what I mean. They took in the Randall. But again, the Lakers being able to get him was always going to come down to like, can they make, you know, like, do they decide to make an offer that the Jazz don't have the stomach to match?
Yeah. Well, that's something that the Lakers have been threatening to do. And that is like the leverage that they're trying to use that, you know, to lead to some kind of sign and trade deal with Utah for Kessler. But the problem is Kessler is like the one guy on their roster that they probably can't lose. Like,
and I also don't think that Austin Reeves necessarily loses a ton of leverage here, because I think the Nets probably could make some other moves to get up to his number if they really wanted to offer him. And it's also like we're talking about for Kessler, Reeves is not, and even, you know, maybe even like more so with Reeves, because he can just leave to go wherever he wants and take whatever offer he decides to take. You know, the Lakers' leverage is not necessarily dictated by other teams. It's dictated like by, can they make Austin feel respected enough that he, you know, takes their offer versus another team? Like, there's still some recruitment that has to go on here.
Yeah. And also the structure of Austin's deal is really important, and that's something that they're going to be negotiating with him for. So they don't want to completely lowball him and then also be like, hey, also, could you take a contract that actually depreciates over time? Like that's how you piss off somebody who they consider critical to their success. All right. Now that's going to do it here. Have a great rest of your nights, everybody. Make somebody else's. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Until tomorrow, have a great rest of your evenings. Make somebody else's. And Raj and I will talk to you then. Thanks, everyone.